Welcome to the Grandview Church Podcast for Sunday, August the 16th. I'm Pastor Joy Banks. Right now, I'm recording from my apartment in Vancouver, which is on the unceded territory of the Squamish, Musqueam, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. But I'm aware that people are listening to this from all over. In many ways, we are a scattered flock this season. But I'm comforted by the awareness that the Spirit of Christ, our Good Shepherd, continues to journey with all of us, with you, and with others, wherever we may be at this moment. So to begin today, I want to invite you first to pause for a moment now and become aware of the Good Shepherd's loving presence with you. Good Shepherd, thank you that you are with each one of us this day, that you desire to guide us to green pastures of restoration and rest. Thank you that you offer your comfort to us and your protection when we are journeying through difficult or dark places. We ask for the grace to hear and recognize your voice leading us this day. In gratitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the next couple of months, we'll be journeying through the book of James together. So our podcast service today begins with a reading by Melanie from the first chapter of James. Following that, Kathy will read a story for us about a character named Much Afraid, who's in a conversation with the Good Shepherd. This is from a chapter of the classic book, Hind Feet in High Places. Pastor Jody will be weaving these two stories together in her sermon following that. After that, we'll respond in a song led by Jeanette, prayers offered by Claudia, and wrap things up with announcements by Jake. Let's prepare our hearts now. Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking through this reading in James.
A reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. I, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, am writing this letter to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind. That person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their mind and can never decide what to do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position in God's kingdom. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the person who keeps going on when times are hard. After they have come through hard times, this person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When a person is tempted, they shouldn't say, "God is tempting me." God can't be tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted by their own evil desires. These desires lead them on and drag them away. When these desires are allowed to remain, they lead to sin. And when sin is allowed to remain and grow, it leads to death. My dear brothers and sisters, don't let anyone fool you. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. God chose to give us new birth through the message of truth. He wanted us to be the first harvest of his new creation. This is the word of the Lord.
I have a story to tell you. A story about a character named Much Afraid and her attempts to escape a bully named Craven Fear and to follow the chief shepherd to the high places where Craven Fear could never catch her. This story is adapted from the book Hind's Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard, who took inspiration from Psalm 18, verse 33. The Lord makes my feet like the feet of a hind and sets me upon the high places. Much Afraid worked in the service of the chief shepherd, lived with her friends, and was happy in many ways. But she was aware of several problems that hindered her work and caused her much distress and shame. She loved to work for the chief shepherd and longed to travel with him when he took the flocks up to the high places, but she knew she could never go there. She sighed. How could she climb the mountains? It was said that one needed hind's feet to traverse the high places, the feet of a deer or a mountain goat. She looked down at her misshapen legs. She had clodhopper feet, feet that tripped her up when walking on flat land. What hope would she have on the mountain? Aside from that, she had heard that only the beautiful could go there. Her face was contorted by an ill-shaped mouth which twisted her words as well as her lips. There was even a greater trouble in her life. She was a member of the family of Fearings, and she had grown up with cousins, Gloomy, Spiteful, and Craven Fear. Craven Fear was her biggest bully, and her family was insisting she go live with her cousin, Craven Fear. Much Afraid worked for the chief shepherd, as I said before, and today she would meet with him down by the placid pond to ask for his help with this dilemma of the bully. Today, she would ask for his help, because tomorrow, it would be too late. For her relatives were coming tomorrow to force her to go away with Craven Fear. And so, this eventide, Much Afraid walked down to the pond and told the chief shepherd her plight, the situation about which she was much afraid. And she told him of her desire to go across the river and up into the high places to avoid all the Fearings. I have waited a long time to hear you make that suggestion, Much Afraid, said the shepherd. It would indeed be best for you to leave this valley for the high places, and I am willing to take you there myself. The lower slopes of those mountains on the other side of the river are the borderlands of my father's kingdom, the realm of love. No fears of any kind are able to live there, because perfect love is the only guard against fear of every kind. Much Afraid stared in amazement. But my feet are too clumsy, she exclaimed. For months the longing has never left me, but it is not possible. I could never get there. I am too lame. It is quite true that the way up to the high places is both difficult and dangerous, said the shepherd. It must be so, that nothing which is an enemy of love can make the ascent and invade the kingdom. Nothing blemished or imperfect is allowed there, and the inhabitants of the high places must have feet like the feet of the hind. I can give you hind's feet, and you will be able to frolic on the mountains with the fleetest of deer and never be bullied again by craven fear. Much afraid stared in bewilderment. How is that possible? I am ugly and crippled, but you say nothing ugly or imperfect can live there. It's true, said the shepherd, that you would have to be changed before you can live on the high places. You would have to receive another name, for it would be impossible for a much afraid to enter the kingdom of love. Are you willing to be changed, much afraid, and to be made like the new name you will receive if you become a citizen in the kingdom of love? She nodded earnestly and said, yes, I am. Again the chief shepherd smiled, but added gravely, there is still one thing more, the most important of all. No one may enter my Father's kingdom unless they have the flower of love already blooming in their hearts. Has love been planted in your heart, much afraid? The shepherd looked searchingly into the depths of her heart. After a long pause, much afraid answered, I see the longing to be loved and admired growing in my heart, but I don't think I see the kind of love that you're talking about, at least nothing like the love which I see in you. Then will you let me plant the seed of true love there now? Asked the shepherd. It will take some time to develop hind's feet and to climb to the high places, and if I put the seed in your heart now, it will be ready to bloom by the time you get there. Much afraid shrank back. I have been told that if you really love someone, you give that loved one the power to hurt you. The shepherd agreed. To love means to put yourself into the power of the loved one. But it is so happy to love, even if you are not loved in return. There is pain, too, but love does not think that it is very important. If I let you plant the seed of love in my heart, will you give me the promise that I shall be loved in return? I couldn't bear it otherwise. Yes, said the chief shepherd. I promise you, much afraid, that when the plant of love is ready to bloom in your heart, you will be loved in return. It seemed too much afraid, too wonderful to believe. But the shepherd himself was making the promise, and he could not lie. Please, plant love in my heart. The shepherd put his hand into his bosom, drew something out, and laid it on the palm of his hand, holding it out to her. Here is the seed of love. Much afraid gasped. There was indeed a seed lying in the palm of his hand, but it was shaped like a long, sharply pointed thorn. It was the size and shape of the scars Much Afraid had often noted in the shepherd's much-scarred hands. Her voice trembled. The seed looks very sharp. Won't it hurt if you put it into my heart? It is so sharp that it slips in very quickly, but as I said, if you would know love, you must know pain, too. Much afraid looked at the thorn and shrank from it. Then she looked at the shepherd's kind, patient, and loving face, and a strange new courage entered her. She stepped forward, bared her heart, and said, "Please plant the seed here in my heart." He smiled. Now you will be able to go with me to the high places and be a citizen of the kingdom of my Father. Then he pressed the thorn into her heart. Just as he has said, it did cause a piercing pain, but it slipped in quickly, and then, suddenly, a sweetness she had never felt or imagined before tingled through her. It was bittersweet, but the sweetness was the stronger. For a moment, much afraid, did not look afraid at all.
For a moment, much afraid, did not look afraid at all. For a moment. I've been immensely grateful to come across this story again, the story that Kathy just read, which was an adaptation of the first chapter of the book Hinds Feet in High Places. And it's a story that I think is a perfect companion to the content of the book of James, which we'll be exploring from now until Thanksgiving. Jake started us in it last week. And I hope that you will find resonance between the story of Much Afraid and this text of James, which at its heart, I think is communicating a similar message. Let me give you a roadmap of where I want to go together in the next few minutes. First, I want to talk about how fear and trials can be a super clarifying place to identify what is really important to us. Just like it was for Much Afraid in the story, as she's experiencing the bullying of Craven Fear, it clarifies for her that she actually wants to go up to the high places. But the second place we'll go is to look at how can we too be transformed from Much Afraid to a hind who can navigate challenging terrain with the ease of a mountain goat or a deer. That old word, hind, old word for a deer. And finally, where is the good shepherd on this journey? So, how do trials clarify what is important? Do you have an experience that was like that for you? A time when you face something really difficult, and hard though it was, it brought things into a crystal clear focus for you. As we've gathered as a church around Samuel Martin's in prayer, the request that galvanized many of those prayers was Samuel's fear. His totally rational and understandable and unbearable fear in the face of death and pain. Many of you have responded to pray that love might cast out that fear. But in that moment, in these moments that are so clarifying, when we're facing real consequences, these are the times when the platitudes feel like dust in your mouth, right? These are the times when we have to dig down deep to find out what is it we actually believe. And we pull it out and we hope that it's going to stand the test of this particular moment, this particular trial. In the face of this fear, this terror, this pain, is love strong enough? Does gospel matter? These are clarifying places. So what does this text of James have to offer us in the trials in which we might find ourselves now or in the future? What does this text have to offer Samuel in these past couple of weeks? In these opening verses, we hear, "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything." From the sidelines, these verses may feel trite and insensitive. But in the clarity of difficulties, it can, in fact, be just what is needed. To be reminded that God is not simply interested in rescuing us from our difficult places, but in seeing us transformed into God's own likeness. That God doesn't stand outside of suffering and trials, using them like some master puppeteer to manipulate us, but that God in Christ still bears the marks of suffering in his own body and comes to us in the suffering place, knowing that this is where we begin to move from being much afraid into the possibility of finding a new name. I read the story that you heard Kathy read to Samuel 2 weeks ago. And at that point, we did not think that he would live through the weekend. And he asked me if I would come and talk to him about heaven and about being really afraid. What words did I have for him? What ways to walk with him through this valley of the shadow of death? So we read this story together. And Samuel was unable to talk, but was using a letter board to spell things out. S-E-E-D, he spelled. Seed. Do you want to talk about the seed? Yes. So we talked about the seed of love. I-W-A-N-T. You want? Yes. You want the seed of love? Yes. I want the seed of love planted in my heart. Emphatic yes from Samuel in the form of a thumbs up. We prayed and we asked Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to plant the seed of love in his heart, that love would begin to push fear out, that he would have the courage to call on the Good Shepherd when fear snuck back in and started to bully him, that Jesus, who had walked through death ahead of him, would hold his hand and show him how to walk this path. For a moment, Samuel did not look afraid at all. Now, our natural tendency is to run from suffering. Sometimes it can't be avoided. Sometimes there is invitation in it. Jesus stretching out his hand, waiting for us to long to be able to navigate these tricky paths, but knowing that we do not have the skills or the strength to do it in our own power. Jesus says, I suffered. You too will suffer. But the text offers us three resources for that suffering. One, there's a new perspective that is offered. Consider it joy. Now, it's really important to note that there is nothing good about suffering. There's nothing joyful in suffering. Joy is not inherent in the suffering itself. But suffering can turbocharge change. It can clarify and solidify what is important and good. It can burn away the dross and reveal what is solid and dependable and pure. The perspective change has us consider the outcomes, consider it joy. Second, two resources are perseverance and wisdom. And we're going to unpack those a bit more next week. But if perspective allows us to look for what is good, what is pure, what will endure, wisdom helps us to test that. And perseverance then helps us to build our houses, so to speak, in that place, to live in that true place as much as we are able to understand as wisdom and perspective grow. So let me touch just briefly on evil desires, which the text addresses in verses 13 to 15. We know that when suffering comes, it doesn't always make us better. We don't always embrace it with perspective and perseverance and wisdom. We are not always transformed into greater strength and beauty. We don't always live out of the convictions that become clear in moments of faith. Sometimes, instead, we are deformed further. And we become bitter and angry and despairing. So, what's the difference between suffering that burns all the dross away and leaves you with pure gold versus suffering that leaves behind a sun-scorched flower? The question is, into whose arms do we run in the face of suffering? Do we run into the arms of the shepherd who joins us in the suffering and offers us love as a gift that looks and often is painful? Or do we run into the arms of our own evil desires? What makes a desire evil? Simply that it is inordinate, that it's not in its proper place. We don't like to talk about evil in a modern context, but all that is intended here is that it is disordered. We're asking something of that desire that it is not intended to or capable of being able to supply. When we place ourselves in the arms of inordinate desire, this is the place where bitterness, anger, and despair grow. Where do you run in the face of trials? I saw Samuel a couple of days ago. He is walking and talking, joking, moving around in the world. It is nothing short of a miracle, though the road ahead is still a daunting one. There are new skills that he has. There's love, perseverance, and wisdom at work in new ways in this 12-year-old. And I asked him where he's seen fear which has been a constant companion for him over the last couple of weeks. Where has fear been showing up since we prayed for the seed of love to be planted in his heart? And he tilted his head, and he looked around, and he said thoughtfully, "I haven't seen it around for a while." Jeanette is going to lead us in the song, "I Want Jesus to Walk With Me." And I want to invite you, as that song plays, to look for Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who desires to walk with you in the place you are in right now.
I want Jesus to walk with me. Yeah, I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, and Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. Trials, Lord, walk with me.
prayers of the people. God of justice and compassion, we bring to you our concerns today. We pray for our world, our neighborhood, and ourselves. We thank you, God, for nature, for its beauty and abundance that allows us to connect with your love, especially when we're feeling low. We pray for the earth, that you have mercy, especially because of all the extra waste generated by COVID-19. We pray for the thousands of children, men, and women who have been affected by the explosion in Lebanon. Please provide them soon with drinking water and electricity. Thank you, Lord, for the dependable members in our families, communities, and neighborhoods who are present to listen and to care. We pray, Lord, for family members and friends whose mental health is languishing because they are feeling alone and overwhelmed during COVID-19. We thank you, Lord, for each essential worker risking their health for the well-being of others. And we pray for wisdom in our authorities locally and globally so they make good decisions around COVID-19 strategies. We thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love every day. And we pray for those who are feeling discriminated against because of their age, gender, or ethnicity. Help them find friends and people who are kind to them. Help us all extend your hospitality. You can now take a minute of silence to lift your own prayers to God. Together, let's respond to all these prayers with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Hello, Grandview. This is Jake, and these are your community announcements. Did you know you can listen to Grandview's audio services and sermons on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify? I didn't, but it turns out you can. Search Grandview Church in the app and tap subscribe and never miss a service again. Asher and Alex O are going on a long road trip to visit their grandparents. They are being COVID safe, but enjoying getting to see family and seeing lots of sights along the long drive. Last week, Diane celebrated her 75th birthday, and Samuel Milne Martins turned 12 on Tuesday. An extra special birthday. He also started radiation on his birthday, but he said he didn't mind too much. Happy birthday, Sam. These have been your community announcements.
Friends, I don't know how you would describe the week before you, how you feel about it, what the terrain looks like from your vantage point. But I pray that you would find yourself in this week, inviting the presence of the Good Shepherd to come near, no matter what that terrain looks like. That you would be inviting the Shepherd to be near enough to be transforming you by love. That you too might walk in the high places. May this blessing be yours. From the story that we heard, where the shepherd says it's quite true that the way up to the high places is both difficult and dangerous. And it must be so that nothing which is an enemy of love can make the ascent and invade the kingdom. The inhabitants of the high places must have feet like the feet of the hind. I can give you hind's feet. And you will be able to frolic on the mountains with the fleetest of deer and never again be bullied by craven fear. May that transformation and even those moments of frolic in the mountains be either planted in your heart as desire or be some glimmer of an experienced reality as you walk with Jesus into the week before you. Go with the Good Shepherd, guiding your path.